Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, Text Number 36. Tam jigupsita karmanam Nrisam sam nirapatrapam Vasudeva Mahabhaga Uvacha pari santavyan. Tam unto him, Hansa, Jugupsita karmanam, who is ready to commit such an offensive act. Nrisam sham sam, very cruel. Nira patrapan, shameless. Vasudeva, Vasudeva, Mahabhaga, the greatly fortunate father of Vasudeva. Uvacha said, Parishantavyan, purifying. Oh, pacifying, I'm sorry. Pacifying. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Wanting to pacify Kamsa, who was so cruel and envious that he was shamelessly ready to kill his sister, the great soul Vasudeva, who was to be the father of Krishna, spoke to him in the following words. Purport. Vasudeva, who is to be the father of Krishna, described here as Mahabhaga, a very upright and sober personality. Because although Kamsa was ready to kill Vasudeva's wife, Vasudeva remained sober and unagitated. In a peaceful attitude, Vasudeva began to address Kamsa by putting forward reasonable arguments. Vasudeva was a great personality, because he knew how to pacify a cruel person and how to forgive even the bitterest enemy. One who is fortunate is never caught, even by tigers or snakes. Next text, 37. Vasudeva said, my dear brother-in-law Kamsa, you are the pride of your family, the Bhoja dynasty, and great heroes praise your qualities. How could such a qualified person as you kill a woman, your own sister, especially on the occasion of her marriage? According to Vedic principles, a brahmana, an old man, a woman, a child, or a cow cannot be killed under any circumstances. Vasudeva stressed that Devaki was not only a woman, but a member of Kamsa's family. If she was now married to Vasudeva, she was Parastri, another man's wife. And if such a woman is killed, not only would Kamsa be implicated in sinful activities, but his reputation as a king of the Bhoja dynasty would be damaged. Thus Vasudeva tried many ways to convince Kamsa in order to stop him from killing Devaki. O hero, one who takes birth is sure to die, for death is born with the body. One may die today or after hundreds of years, but death is sure for every living entity. Purport. Vasudeva wanted to impress upon Kamsa, though Kamsa feared dying and therefore wanted to kill even a woman, he could not avoid death. Death is sure. Why then should Kamsa do something that would be detrimental to his reputation and that of his family? It's confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Chitasya hi dhruvam rityur dhruvam janmam chitasya cha tasmada parihariyate etvam sojitim arhasi. For one who has taken his birth, death is certain. And for one who is dead, birth is certain. Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. One should not fear death. Rather, one should prepare oneself for the next birth. One should utilize one's time in the human form to end the process of birth and death. It's not that It is not that to save oneself from death, one should entangle oneself in sinful activities. This is not good. Everything from the stories to the instructions are meant to give us, not beginning with knowledge, reality. For instance, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us we're not this body. And throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that in different ways, what it means not to be a body. And then, to add on to that, Krishna says that there's a super soul who's guiding everyone. That whatever we're doing is being guided under the super soul, because the super soul senses our desires, just like one could understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it, and it gives us the appropriate intelligence according to what we deserve to fulfill those desires. So also the super soul is explained. And something about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that our being eternal, is our knowledge of eternity is supposed to inspire us to act on the eternal platform for eternal results, for eternal goal. Without having an eternal goal, a goal that's eternal, then just understanding without this body doesn't really have much meaning. But in order to realize that we're not this body, which is actually what we're trying to achieve, not just hear about again and again that we're not the body, but if we're in the bodily concept of life, it doesn't do us very much good. And if we have to suffer due to our attachment to this material body, it's also, to understand we're not this body, is not very encouraging. It means that we'll be here forever in the material world suffering. That's not very encouraging. But if we utilize it to perform activities that which are bring us to the eternal platform, the eternal state of consciousness, then this knowledge is theoretical knowledge when it's put into perspective, when we can see what it actually means to us personally, then we could try to apply it with some kind of conviction. If the knowledge is just superficial, we hear it in class, I'm not this body, how nice, and then it doesn't really stick. We don't see it. We don't observe it. It doesn't really have any deeper meaning to us than simply some theoretical idea that Krishna spoke to Arjuna 5,000 years ago about not being a body. But unless we can see it in such a way, is that we can act upon it. That if we're actually convinced, then in difficulty, we can continue to act upon it. And if we're not convinced, as soon as there's some problem, then immediately we're in the bodily concept of life again. And if we're convinced that even when we're so-called suffering in the material world, we still don't become disturbed or unnecessarily disturbed by such suffering, because we're convinced that these things will come and go, as Krishna says, just like seasonal changes. Krishna told Arjuna, you're not your body. But Arjuna was saying, well, still, it's very uncomfortable being in the body. So Krishna said, yes, you're right. Just knowing you're not the body is not going to really help you avoid the discomfort. But you have to learn how to tolerate. Because if you can learn how to tolerate, then you can perform activities which are on the spiritual platform and therefore get my mercy, and I can reveal to you the reality. We have to show Krishna that we're sincere. And we can't show Krishna we're sincere if we only want things that are going nicely for us. Everything should go as smoothly as possible. How is Krishna going to know if we're sincere? It's only when we're put into difficulty that we're really tested. And we're put into difficulty, and if we remain attached to Krishna's service, that shows our sincerity. Not that we're in difficulty and I give up Krishna's service and I wait for better times. That's not what Krishna's definition of sincerity is. And therefore there won't be very much progress unless we not only have the knowledge, but the perspective, what it means practically, this knowledge, what we're supposed to do with it, how to see this world through that knowledge, so that with conviction we can act. Not that I'm really not so sure, maybe everyone is their material body. Maybe Krishna is in delusion and everyone, all the materialists are right. That kind of perspective is not going to help us. And we can't act with conviction with that kind of perspective. Therefore, we find those who don't have conviction, they're willing to compromise with all kinds of materialists. We don't want to upset them. Tell them that it's not good to kill animals. We don't want to tell them. They might get upset. Or that maybe it's good that some people have illicit sex. It makes them happy, so that's okay for them. No problem. We don't really want to appear to be fanatical. Now, with that kind of perspective, then we're doing harm to ourselves, we're doing harm to everyone else. Because people are going to hell because they're killing animals. And we're saying, that's all right, you know. Just try to kill them peacefully. Try to kill them nicely. Non-violently. Or it's all right having illicit sex or taking intoxication. If that's your thing, then, you know, we don't want to criticize you for it. It might upset you. No, people get, as it explains here, material nature is not so forgiving. We may be very forgiving. Oh yes, it's all right with me. But it's not going to be all right with material nature. Material nature doesn't forgive anyone's discretions in the material world. Everyone has to get the results of their activities. And therefore, if we encourage sinful activities, if we're not trying to work positively to help people avoid them, at least getting a higher taste so they can see the difference between the lower activities and the higher activities, then we become implicated too. We think it's all right. You can have a little sense gratification. Maybe I should have some too. Because we're not convinced that there's something better in life. And of course we may have experienced it in the past, but if we don't act with conviction now, then we won't, if we don't have conviction now, then we won't act with conviction. And therefore, whatever we experienced in the past, whatever higher taste we have in the past, won't be experienced again for some time. Instead, we may go down, like Jad Bharat, and find ourselves into difficulty. Of course, difficulty for everyone, whether this be the materialists or ourselves, is meant to encourage us to come to a higher platform, to start questioning, what is the better perspective? They're telling me to act like this and I'll get such a good result, but I'm acting like that according to their perspective and I'm getting a horrible result. So maybe these authorities that I'm accepting, maybe they're not the best authorities. Maybe I should find some authority. They'll tell me what to do and I'll act and I'll get a positive result. I'll get some superior experience. If Krishna wanted us just to study Bhagavad Gita, he would have told Arjuna, don't fight, Arjuna. Just sit down in the chariot and study Bhagavad Gita all day. And after the war is over, I'll give you a test on the Bhagavad Gita. No, Krishna talked our Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, gave him a vision of what was going on, that these soldiers on the battlefield are eternal, that I'm going to devour, time is already there, by their time they're going to be annihilated whether you act as my instrument or not, that ultimately they're going to get new bodies. So many different perspectives was given to Arjuna, not so that Arjuna could kind of like say, hey, that's an interesting story you're telling about Krishna. It's almost time for the battle, I think I'm going to go to sleep, I'm a little tired. No, he's giving him that perspective so that he can act with conviction when he follows Krishna's order and fights as a kshatriya. That he can assimilate that knowledge and see it so clearly that he's convinced and therefore he'll act in Krishna consciousness to satisfy Krishna. And then of course we may have that conviction, we may try, we may fail. We may not always get it right, but that's how skill is developed. By practice, by making an endeavor, by not being afraid to fail, because we're already failures. Everyone in the material world has already failed. Otherwise, why are we in the material body? If you're in a jail and someone says, you know, I think you may have committed a crime, and you go, no, that's not possible. How could I? I've always been an honest citizen. Why are you in jail? Oh, I don't know. Some mistake here. So we're in a material body. We must be rascals. Otherwise, how did we get into a material body? But we should stop being rascals. That's all. That's why Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita. Not to criticize, oh, you're all rascals. You're finished. Doesn't matter what you do. I'm never going to love you again. You rejected me. Well, I reject you. Hit the road, soul. And don't come back. Now, Krishna is speaking rascals. He's speaking so maybe we can admit we're rascals and then try to surrender to Krishna. Pray for his mercy. So we can understand what he's talking about. So as that understanding comes with conviction, we can apply in our personal lives the instructions of Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. And then gradually the skill will come. And as the skill comes, then our purification, then we become more and more loving in our exchanges, more and more conscious in our exchanges, and Krishna reciprocates more deeply, and we become in love with Krishna. We become attached to Krishna consciousness, to the process of serving Krishna. It becomes a reality rather than just a theory. So here, Vasudeva, because he's speaking to Kamsa, Kamsa's complete rascal, he's not going to understand anything. He's not going to get any perspective, no matter what Vasudeva tells. But why is he speaking? He's speaking for us. Because we also like Kamsa. We're also afraid of dying. We'll sacrifice anything in order to protect our dear and near body. So Vasudeva is speaking to us specifically so that at least we can stop being rascals. Then if we're actually Krishna conscious, then our lives will actually have some purpose, some meaning. We should have the goal to develop the character of a pure devotee. So in order to do that, we have to act like a pure devotee. And therefore Prabhupada came to show us how a pure devotee thinks, how he speaks, how he acts, which was one of Arjuna's questions in Bhagavad Gita. Stita pragyasya kapa shas samadhi stasya keshava stitadi kim prabhasheta kim asita prajeta kim. At the very end of the second chapter, Arjuna starts asking, what is a pure devotee? How does he speak? How does he walk? How does he talk? And what is his language? Because we should know what a pure devotee is doing, otherwise how do we know who to follow? How do we know what to follow? But then Krishna gives a very strange answer to Arjuna. He doesn't say a pure devotee has a big beard or he sits in a lotus path. It doesn't give us something that so easily, obviously, it's obvious to us. He says, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Prajahadi Yada Kaman Sarvam Partha Manogatan Atmani Vatmanatushta Sita Pragyasta Tochite. One who gives up all desires which for sense gratification that arise from mental concoction and his mind finds satisfaction of the self alone, he said to be fixed in perfect knowledge. So a very simple thing, someone who's attached to Krishna and service to Krishna, then he's a pure devotee. It doesn't matter how many slokas he knows, how nicely he sings, doesn't know how expert he is in this. No, he's attached. He's just doing something for Krishna. And he's not doing anything else except for service to Krishna. He doesn't tell us the importance of to emphasize everything but Krishna consciousness. No, he emphasizes just Krishna's service, to become conscious of Krishna. He's given up all other ideas, what's important. And how do we know that? How do we see it? Dukeshu vamanam minatsu keshu vigatas priya vita raga bayakragas tita dirmun uchite. One is not disturbed in the three, in spite of the threefold miseries, who's not elated when there's happiness, is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is known as the sage of steady mind. So that steady mind, the character of a pure devotee, who's always engaged in Krishna service, in spite of all difficulty, always humbly engaged in Krishna service, who's tolerant, when the things are going bad, tatenu kampam susamikshamano. He knows it's not by accident that I'm not a victim. Krishna is giving me what is necessary for my spiritual advancement. Reactions that are necessary for my taking shelter of Krishna. And when things are going good, I don't think, oh, I'm such a great devotee. Of course things should go good. Should go well. No one understands it's simply an opportunity to serve Krishna and nicer. But what about, you know, when things go really bad, and the whole world collapses, what does he do? Run for the hills? Yak sarvatman miseha tatat prapyu shubhashubham abhinandesi nadvaishis tasmi pragyapatishita. One who's not disturbed by the different ups and downs of the material world and remains fixed in Krishna consciousness. He's a sage of steady mind. But how do we tell such a person? Kormenavi sarvita. Yat samharite chanyam paramangani vasarvasha indriyar indiyateshu tasya pragyapatishita. One is able to withdraw the senses from sense objects, just like the tortoise draws his limbs within the shell, is said to be a sage of steady mind. So he doesn't become distracted by material things. He's not on, you know, saying harinam and doing window shopping. He's actually chanting the holy name. He's not chanting his round and jibber jabber. Hey, Hari Krishna, hey, did you hear about that? No, he's fixed his mind. He's one-pointed in his determination to serve Krishna. He concentrates on whatever he's doing. He's focused on his service. And how do we... Why has this come about? Vishayam vidivartante niraharasideina rasavarajam rasopyasya param drishva nivartate. We should understand the reason why we're doing it is that eventually our reward will be a higher taste. And to become aware of Krishna, to be able to feel Krishna's presence, to be able to feel Krishna's devotees' presence in the loving exchanges that may inform pastime. That will give us transcendental happiness and enlightenment. So when we focus our attention, give our love to Krishna, then we have the promise of getting a higher taste. That will keep us fixed. That will actually keep us fixed on the path of Krishna consciousness. Give us the knowledge will become revealed to us, we'll be able to see it, we'll be able to become convinced about it by personal experience. We'll have the skills of constantly engaging in Krishna's service, not get deviated, and then we'll be absorbed in Krishna consciousness eternally. So that's the problem. So we have to start somewhere. So we have with these classes, we're giving out some knowledge, and then we try hopefully to see what is being talked about. What and how this applies to my life. It's not just a class where we take some notes, and then we go back and we live our normal life. No, we try to see the perspective. And then when that experience comes, when Krishna Dadami Buddha Yogam Tam, when we become more steady and more enthusiastic about whatever we're doing, then as the experience comes in, we become convinced. And we try to develop the skill of loving exchanges with Krishna and his devotees, try to help the innocent, try to develop the skill of avoiding those who try to take our minds away from Krishna. Then the absorption of Krishna consciousness will come, and will at all the time, every moment, will be a perfect instrument for Krishna in spreading love for him, and love for Krishna's devotees. And then our life will be perfect. Everywhere we look, we'll be in love. There won't be any problem. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Well, I don't know which particular service you're talking about. It's, instead of doing book distribution, you become prasadam taster. It may not be the most intense service. But sometimes we can do a variety of services. It's all right, but they should be done. We shouldn't just do it whimsically, swap services. We should do it because maybe more, maybe able to do it better, or maybe more necessary. There should be some sincerity in this change of services. Otherwise, we don't like it today, this service, we swap it for another one. We don't like that one, we swap. And therefore, there's no real authority telling you, we're not doing it under authority, we're doing it under our mind. But if we're doing it under authority for some good reason, something positive, improve our service and to serve Krishna better, that's very nice. Anything else? Yes. We have to give them a philosophy which is digestible, but we shouldn't go down to a lower level. We should give them what we could stay at our level, but give them something appropriate for their level. We should descend to their level in the hope that they'll think we're a nice person. They're one of our friends, you know, they're one of the crowd. They also go to the movies and smoke with us. Different people, like normal people. In the name of becoming, being normal, sometimes we make too many compromises, and we become so-called normal. Yeah, we try to raise them appropriately. Give them something, Christian consciousness, which they can understand and apply, see. Understand, hear, see, apply some conviction, and therefore get a higher taste. We'll give them a higher taste. Therefore, we introduce the chanting and prasadam usually before we go start talking about prison principles, emphasizing anything else. Anything else? Hola, Grantarai, Shaman Bhagavatam, Kijai.